Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jim Colony reimagined Steelers beat man with us. Jim, you know what you get on all three of the guys that got canned today? And maybe this was to their detriment. Everybody will tell you, and I'm sure you're going to do the same thing because you've probably talked to all three, really good guys. Oh, they're just great, salt-of-the-earth people. Bradley, Fichtner, even Surrett, down-to-earth guys. Hey, sometimes maybe down-to-earth doesn't work in the NFL, Jim.
Well, sometimes it does, and sometimes it's just – well, you got to hold somebody accountable. And since it's not going to be Tomlin,
so do you feel like they're scapegoats?
No, because you can make the argument that the offensive line underperformed. The offense certainly underperformed. Predictability and everything else. And, you know, the Colts apparently weren't the only people around the league that knew exactly what the Steelers were going to run. And maybe sometimes they got away with it, even in years past, because of the talent they had. But, you know, it'll catch up. And when you combine aging, no imagination on the offense, I'm talking about aging on the offensive line now, not necessarily Ben. Mm-hmm. But then with predictability and athleticism on the other side of the line, and it was time for a change. It really was. And it's just ridiculous because they were 11-0 at one point, and even early in the season, they were scoring 30 points a game. But they did run the ball better. Didn't they have three different 100-yard rushers in the first four games?
Five straight games where they ran for over 100 as a team, Jim, to start the season. Some of those were big, chunky plays at the end of games, but the numbers are still the numbers.
I mean, heck, even McFarland had a 100-yard game, didn't he? So there was something there at the beginning, and then they got away from it, and they actually got away – from the Matt Canada influence. We talked about that as this was unfolding. And yet
that's why I don't think he's the next OC. I don't think he takes the Dolphins interview if he's the next guy.
Well, we'll see.
Why? Are you hearing different? If you put your reporter hat on and tell us.
I'm just saying that it's not like – I mean, Canada was brought in because he was a different voice from Fichtner. And his philosophies are different, and he's got different ideas. And what we're talking about here, and it sounds funny when you say like, well, if you talk about you watch a college game and you say that, well, it's different because you can out-athlete people in college, even at the highest levels. And yet, at the same time, where do those players go?
Yeah.
You could go back, and I'm being only slightly facetious here, where in some instances, if you made Eric Kasparovich, the head coach of Pine Ridgeon High School, the offensive coordinator of the Steelers, that his concepts at least – no, I'm just – Chris, I'm taking it two steps out.
Well, I actually agree with you. I was just busting your chops. I mean, there's been a lot written, Jim, on how – the groundswell of offensive innovation in the NFL that started to take place started in high schools.
Yep.
Let's get that dude. Where's
the A11
people
guy?
Happy. Who's the guy in Arkansas or someplace?
That's the guy. That's the guy I'm talking about. Yeah.
He goes for every onside kick.
He does the funky things where the eligible receivers aren't always who you'd think they'd be. Like, they line up linemen in a very weird way. That's the guy.
The nipple rubber. Yeah. Our nipple rubber out. I'm just saying, we could have used the guy that never punts probably against in the playoff game when they were coming back. But I wouldn't be surprised. There was a part of me that kind of dismissed out of hand the idea of Canada getting the job, figuring that it would be just more of the same, you know, like the old rearranging the deck chairs cliche. And yet I think it would be different. The question is,
man, but they've rejected. I think about Keith Butler. How many times when he wanted to interview for a defensive coordinator job when LeBeau was blocking him?
He was the guy in waiting. That was the whole story.
And now when they fire Fichtner, they say, all right, Matt, if you want to go talk to the Dolphins, go ahead. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Are you sure that Ben just didn't like forge a letter saying you're okay, Matt, go talk to them, or like try to throw his voice to sound like Tomlin?
Art Rooney's signature on a piece
of paper.
Yeah.
He's like, Matt is permitted. Matt has my express permission to interview for a job.
To whom it may concern,
right?
Oh, man.
Matt has a doctor's appointment in fill in the city of an NFL franchise. they can't stop him from interviewing unless they promote him right away. And I think if they were to promote him right away, and isn't it amazing, by the way, and I'm not going to accuse Mike Tomlin of lying to us.
He did.
My goodness.
He was dishonest yesterday, but that's what coaches do. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and so the question is, and I heard you guys just talking about this, is how will the quarterback react to this, and will the quarterback want to run the plays the way that the offensive coordinator wants to run them? And
if he doesn't, then I don't think he has a leg to stand on, Jim. The fact that we're actually asking that seriously because we all feel like it probably happened that way with Haley and Haley's first year,
yeah,
that's embarrassing to me. I'll say this, and this is as a Ben critic. He did not perform well enough. I don't even want him back next year. I'm on the record saying that. He did not perform well enough that he can go diva on whoever the next coordinator is, because he has just as much blood on his hands for Randy Fichtner being unemployed as anybody.
That's an argument. That's an argument you can make. You could just not even have an offensive coordinator and let Ben draw plays in the dirt, because that's kind of what he was doing, whether he wants to say he was doing it or not. He was. But if Ben walks away, and Chris, I did see, I think it was a tweet someplace, not even just the Janko, the Mark Jankowski nickname tweet, which I tackled today with great aplomb. But
you're welcome.
The one about Canada had a lot of, let me put it this way. You're on the right track, from what I understand, with Canada having a lot to do with the plays that were run in
week 17.
The regular season finale when Rudolph was the quarterback.
Ooh.
And you're not
the savvy young news hound strikes again.
Yes. Yes. Way to go, Stixy. So
I don't think this is a very appealing job. If you're an offensive coordinator with options from the outside,
Is it a more appealing job if Rudolph's the quarterback next year, or if Roethlisberger? If you're Matt Canada,
I would say
is this
the
job
former
more,
because you
so
know
would
if
I,
you come
you
in
can
here,
cut your teeth.
You know what I'm saying? If you come in here with Ben, you know who's the boss.
You know who gets the credit if it works out well. It ain't you, and you don't get to implement your real stuff.
If you are Matt Canada, of course.
It's not about credit. If you are Matt Canada and you take this job next year, and Mason Rudolph is actually your starter, and he puts up good numbers and looks like a real honest to God NFL quarterback,
you might be a head coach somewhere after that.
Correct. Exactly. If you take the job, if you're Matt Canada, if Ben Roethlisberger is the starting quarterback next year, is as close to a dead end, no win job as can possibly be, because he is going to treat you very poorly because he probably doesn't like you. And you're replacing the guy he did like, whether it was a successful offense or not.
Well, Chris, I tend to, the more I think about it as well, you may as well blow up the offense. You just may as well do it. When you look at all the changes that we know are coming, we've already seen one of them. And we know another one is definitely coming, which is Al. He's going to be gone. And then another one that, Ramon Foster put it on DK at 50-50, and Ramon's informed as anybody. And let's just assume for the sake of argument, okay? I'm not saying this is going to happen, at least not yet, but that Pouncey retires, that he actually does retire. And then you think about it, I mean, DeCastro would be the last man standing up there. Filer's a free agent. And the offensive line has to be completely rebuilt except for DeCastro and Chooks. And
what about Dotson?
You know, Dotson will be back. Yeah, Dotson. Dotson
and Banner.
Was
I think they like. I think they like Banner more than Chooks. I would almost say if Banner's healthy, I think that they feel more.
Maybe
confident
Chooks is their
him,
left tackle.
Well, then, oof. Then Chooks.
Yeah.
What about Banner?
No.
Out there.
No.
I don't know.
Banner said he likes to play right tackle more.
Yeah, he did say
oh,
that.
Oh, does he? Yep. Okay. Well.
Yeah, he said he prefers.
Okay,
it.
then I don't know. I don't know. Chooks was okay, but, you know, that's –
Can
that,
I
–
you know, we're talking about
campaign.
Rebuilding these guys, and look, age caught up to a lot of them, and I don't think Pouncey and Villanueva yeah. have a lot left. But I'm going to say something here, and this is going out over the air, so it's not like I'm saying it in secret because it's pretty much – it's the worst kept – it's one of the worst kept secrets around the Steelers. Since I've been here, and I didn't really have great sources in my first 2 or 3 years, but I would say in the last few years, Sean Surratt – the only coach, and I mean from the top down, we're talking about, you know, position coaches, coordinators, head coach. The only coach who I have heard people complain about more than Sean Surratt was a special teams coach who got fired. And you can go look up why he got fired in the backstory there with him. Okay? This Surratt was way in over his head. And a lot of people around the Steelers would tell you that. Now, you want to talk about night and day difference? How about Mike Munchak to this guy, Jim? Look at their resumes.
Well,
and that counts at that position. That's a big deal at offensive line coach. Big deal.
Yeah, because, well, for example, in Cleveland, right, Bill Callahan, who's got a lot of experience as a coach, is an offensive line coach.
Well, how about that guy in New England when he was there, that Dante Scarnecchia, when he would
Dante
be there?
Dante Scarnecchia?
Yeah.
He was there when I was there. He was a special teams coach when I was there. In the 80s, and they were really bad.
How about Bugle? I mean, these offensive line coaches are a big deal in the NFL.
Russ Grant.
I think that's the million-dollar question, is how much did Sean Surratt's complete inability to do anything and in his complete incompetence at the job affect, like, guys who are obviously, independent of how bad of a coach he is, at the end of the line in many cases?
Well, I mean, before we completely trash Sean Surratt, and he did learn at the feet of Mike Munchak, who's a Hall of Famer, and Munchak was
sleeping
tremendous.
During class, though.
Did they miss him when he was gone? No. Matt Filer, well, okay, I'll give you two examples. All right, and Filer was here initially when Munchak was here, but he developed under Sean Surratt. And DeCastro told me once that Filer was the best right tackle he has played next to. Marcus Gilbert was his right tackle, and he said that Matt Filer was the best right tackle he'd played next.
Well, ask Munchak about Gilbert; you'll get some interesting answers. But keep going.
Okay, but I'm just saying. No, I'm telling what DeCastro played next to these guys, and then do you want to give Sean Surratt a little bit of credit for Kevin Dotson, or did he just come in here from Louisiana and all of a sudden became like an all-rookie offensive lineman.
Not enough credit to go to the coaches and say, we got to keep this guy in the lineup, evidently.
Well, I don't know how much above that head it was, and that's one of those age, which I always hated this stuff. Like, well, you know, we can't have a guy lose his job to injury. Well, he was a better right tackle than he was a left guard. And you had Dotson, who is a better left guard than, and you can make an argument that Dotson was a better right guard than DeCastro.
If Mike Tomlin were coaching the 2001 Patriots, he would have put Drew Bledsoe back in for Tom Brady, is what we learned with this wild card game.
Well, that's when Joey Gildon took out Tom Brady, then guess who came back in and threw the game-winning touchdown pass? Bledsoe in that game. But anyway, but I understand
thanks for the memory,
example.
Jim.
Yeah.
I understand your, well, I mean, brought it up, but which was the irony of that whole thing. But anyway, well, because they knew exactly what defense the Steelers were running because of their video.
Oh, God.
But I'm just saying, I don't want to completely throw, and even Feetner to somebody, I don't want to completely trash these guys to say that they don't know what they're talking about, because I think that's unfair to those guys. But could they, you know, does the offensive line need to be better? Yeah, and especially because
well, you say
be,
not to totally trash those guys, but I can guarantee you something. Unless, this is the only caveat I'll put on it, unless Byron Leftwich gets a head coaching gig somewhere else and B.A. wants to call up his old friend Coach Randy and have him replace Leftwich and work with Brady, which would probably blow my mind, there is no way the three guys who just got fired get the same position with a new NFL team next year. Surratt won't, Tom Bradley won't, and Feekner probably won't.
If Fietner were to get that job, it would literally be like it would be Bruce Arians giving him free money, because there's no way Tom Brady would hear Randy Fietner.
I mean, he might hire Coach Randy to be their wide receivers coach or quarterbacks coach or something like that, but I'd be shocked if Fietner is somebody's OC.
Tom Brady runs that offense more than Ben Roethlisberger runs this offense, and that's to the Buccaneers' endless credit at this point.
But having said all this, certainly bringing in a new offensive line coach I think is a good move. I think it is, particularly because I think there's going to be a decent amount of turnover among that group. And so you may, which is why at this point, you know, defensively, they still have a lot of guys coming back, but they're going to have to look at the numbers. You guys have talked about all this. They're going to look at the numbers, and they're going to look at guys like Joe Hayden. And as much as we qualify this with everything. Joe Hayden's like one of the greatest guys there is, and a great locker room guy, and one of the really good pros. And so your team is better when you have guys like Joe Hayden around. But nowadays, you have to balance what you get from a guy on the field with what he is owed via the salary cap. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to do that with a quarterback, too. And so unless they do one of those more phony renegotiations and kicking the guy down the road.
Do you think Fietner being out signals that Ben is probably going to retire, Jim?
I don't think that guarantees anything. I mean, what's he going to walk away from? You think he's going to retire? And now I know he's been paid a lot of money.
We're going to find out how much he likes Coach Randy and Marquise Pouncey if Pouncey ends up retiring, because then it'll be an easy decision. In one column, $19 million. In another column, his supposed loyalties to his good buddies.
Right, and one of those columns, the money actually does come out of his pocket. But in terms of, you know, if Pouncey walking away, and he very well might, is that going to sway Ben one way or another? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is he going to sit down with a trusted friend? Although, you know, what Tomlin said and what others have said, I know Jeff is in this camp, Jeff Hathorn's in this camp as well, that Roethlisberger can still play. But he needs help around him. Can he still play? You know, he can't be like if Deshaun Watson was in an offense like this where he had to do a lot of stuff himself, or maybe Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or one of those guys, then maybe the offense would work, and it would probably work a lot better because he can make up for the deficiencies of others. But he's not in that position anymore, and he's got a good crop of receivers. But, you know, can the line block
for
him?
A force multiplier, Jim. He's like you just said, he needs help. You pay a guy that much money, or he counts that much against your cap when he's a force multiplier.
I mean, Brady and you know, I love B.A., love Leftwich and all those guys. But if Brady didn't have, and now A.B.'s contributing, but Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and the receivers that he has there, he wouldn't be half as good unless he had, and they've got, you know, they've got a little bit of a running game there too. Certainly better. Well, everybody's better than the Steelers, but
I think he's like an aging pugilist. I think the first couple of rounds, oh, this looks like Mike Tyson in his prime.
And then Ben?
Yes. And then if the season is a boxing match, by the fourth or fifth round, you're reminded why the guy is 39 years old. I think that's
what
we're at
with the guy. In a football game, you have to play all the rounds no matter what, in i.e. weeks. You can't win on a first round TKO. Like, that's his problem. The match lasts 16 or now 17 next year rounds, whether you want it to or not.
Well, I'm at the point now, and I felt this way. This was like a gut reaction after, you know, when I went to bed on Sunday night or Monday morning. And then when I got up on Monday, I still felt the same way. I still felt the same way Tuesday, yesterday. You know, I just as soon see a complete overhaul of the offense. I really would.
Same.
Just go ahead and do it, because you're going to have to do it sooner or later, and you may as well get it out of the way now while you still have some semblance of a defense. And even if they have to replace Hayden, Hilton, and Cameron Sutton, which they may, I mean, we're going back to the days of Zilla Maine and Josh Victorian and all these guys
Antoine
whose names
Blake,
I can't remember.
Ross Cockrell.
Yeah, that's Zilla Maine, I think.
Tyrone Carter.
Antoine.
All right, Jim.
Well, Tyrone Carter.
Anthony Smith.
Well, no. We're never going back.
Shamarco here. Thomas.
I mean, I've seen much better safety play than that.
Anthony Smith's
your guy,
the worst
Andrew.
Thing.
And Shamarco.
Andrew.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Both of those guys.
Anthony Davis. Anthony Smith and Shamarco Thomas are somehow the two worst things Syracuse has ever brought to this city.
And we made good safeties to Bucky Jones and Donovan Darius. Those guys did okay for themselves. in the National Football League. But anyways, Jim, you're the man.
The wrong ones.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Bye now.
Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!